This is a summary of Sheikh Salman's address to the conference. After praising Allah Azza wa Jal and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to invoke his blessings upon his prophet, the Shaykh recited the verse from Surah Al-Ahzab that Allah and his angels, that Allah praises his prophet in front of his angels, and his angels ask Allah for mercy for the prophet. O you who believe, ask Allah to praise his prophet before his angels. And then the Shaykh greeted the attendees at this conference and the conference support staff, and said, I would like in the beginning to thank these brothers and sisters and honor you for fulfilling this obligation, for coming to this conference to discuss amongst one another the best means and the best ways and most effective ways in order to support and defend the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all know that defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allows us to achieve the obligation which Allah has set upon us to show the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam our wala, or our support. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has commanded us in more than one passage to support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to honor him and to follow the light which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him with. And for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not like any other individual. Indeed, our love for him comes in our hearts due to the fact that he is the final prophet, that he is the best of all humanity, and that he is the leader of all the prophets. And so therefore he has a right upon us, obligated upon us by Allah Azza wa Jal, that we must stand with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all ways in order to support him. We know that this attack against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's personality by these Christian fundamentalists who represent the right wing extremists in the United States is part of a general attack on the religion of Islam. And while perhaps the statement of a particular preacher in his accusation on public television that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a terrorist might have brought us here to this conference, indeed the matter is larger than that. And how odd is this attack on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by accusing him as a terrorist, when if we look at his seerah, his life history, we know that he is further from this. For instance, there is a very famous incident during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was resting under the shade of a tree, and one of the pagans surprised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and took had a sword with him and said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Who will defend you now?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not having any weapon, said, "Allah." And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pulled the sword out of the hand of the pagan and asked the pagan, "Who will defend you now?" The pagan replied, "No one can defend me." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then presented Islam to the pagan, called the pagan to Islam, but this idol worshipper chose not to be a Muslim. But he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "However though, I promise that I will neither fight you nor be in amongst people who will wage war against you." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted that from him and allowed him to go his way. Also, we have the story of another idol worshipper who, when captured in battle and was put in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prisoner of war and was tied to one of the pillars of the Prophet's mosque, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for 3 days would come to him every day and present Islam to this pagan. And every time the idol worshipper would refuse to accept the shahada. And so finally the third day it was agreed that he would leave. So he was let free. He left Medina and then made ghusl and returned back and said his shahada before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did this so he wanted to make sure that people knew that he didn't take his shahada out of duress or out of fear because he was a captive, but rather just to show them that he did it out of his own free volition. And how much more can we show that this attack of the upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he is a terrorist, is false, than just looking at the incident when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned back to Mecca, purifying Mecca, the house established by the Prophet Ibrahim Alayhi Salam for the worship of Allah, purifying it from the idols. And these Meccans who had humiliated the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and companions, who had fought against the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who evicted the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's companions first to Ethiopia and then thereafter to Medina, who killed the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's companions, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam returned to Mecca victorious and had the city under his control, he asked them, "How do you think I will treat you now?" They replied, "We only expect that you will treat us in the best manner, for indeed you are a noble brother and the son of a noble brother." So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Yes, I will only treat you in the best manner. Indeed, you have been set free." And so war, we know, is not always an evil. Indeed, war many times needs to be justified in order to protect oneself from the attack of those who wish evil unto you. And no nation can live neither in the past nor in present, except that it must at some times enter into war. However, though, when we look at the difference between how the Prophet ﷺ engaged in war and how these people engage in war, we know that while everybody claims that their war is a just war, the historical facts prove that what the Prophet's behavior during war and peace was that only of the most highest character, unlike the people who seem to attack the Prophet who are from nations which are known to shed much blood. Indeed, many Western historians and philosophers and thinkers and people of the arts and letters, upon reading the life of the Prophet ﷺ, have acknowledged much of his character that should be acknowledged and have testified to much of the truth which is in his life. We might just mention one example, that when the author who wrote the book of the 100 most influential people in history, he was only compelled to rank the Prophet ﷺ as the most influential person. And this, of course, is not to be surprising, because if anybody reads anything of the Prophet ﷺ's nobility and his character and his personal behavior and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him from guidance and from teachings, one can only come to the conclusion that he is the greatest of all of humanity and the most influential upon humanity in the best way. Indeed, many people, upon reading the life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even though they might not be Muslims, become to learn to love the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For one unique characteristic of his life, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is that there are no secrets in his life. There are no hidden matters of his life. Even his most personal affairs, those matters that dealt between him and his wives, this was something which is known in open, and there's nothing hidden or nothing to be ashamed of or nothing to be found that needs to be defended or needs to find an explanation for. Any one of us knows that his closest friend, or even maybe his own blood brother, you do not know anything about maybe what's going on in his personal life between him and his wife. But yet the Prophet ﷺ's life is open to us all in every single aspect, so that it may remain an example for us to follow. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran, indeed you have in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful example to follow. This attack upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of a general attack upon Islam that leaves no stone unturned. Anything that deals with Islam is now under attack. And first and foremost, of course, is going to be the person of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, it is so odd that we Muslims, because we have been taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we must believe in all the prophets, we must love all the prophets, we must respect all the prophets, if we were to hear of any word being said regarding the Prophet Musa alaihi salam, or the Prophet Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, any negative word or any insinuation, we would take this as an attack upon our religion, because we have been taught to believe and to love and respect all the prophets. And that is because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with a message which confirms to their message and which stands as a guard over those messages, abrogating which is to be abrogated, and correcting which was that which was corrupted by the followers of these prophets thereafter. It is a summary and a perfection of all the previous messages. And it is to be eternal until the end of time. And so therefore it is an obligation upon each and every one of us that we must choose to support the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we cannot gather our ummah upon supporting, upon this issue of supporting and defending the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it means we cannot gather the ummah upon any matter. For as we know, often there are, because of differences in madhab or differences in party affiliation, Muslims place barriers between them and their fellow Muslims in achieving the aims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established in the Sharia. But this is an issue to which we cannot differ upon, because this is the foundation of our religion. And so therefore what is required of each and every one of us is not just open words, not just empty slogans, but practical measures to defend this Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life and seerah. And then to take the truth of the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the truth of his life, and use every single media means and all sorts of available ways of communication in order to take this to every single person on earth. We must address all of humanity, whether those who are living in the West or those living in other parts of the world. Address them by the way the Sharia commands us, and reach every single human being and inform them of who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was and what was his message sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so therefore this conference can be thought of as the spark which will lead to this activities, and it is upon for us all to gather and assist every one of us in the best of their means, as Allah commands us in the Quran that you should gather together and assist each other in righteousness and piety. We need to assist in spreading this message, and take the opportunity in turning this issue into a positive one. And finally, it is permissible for us also to do comparison and contrast. When we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was forced to engage into war, if we look at the wars that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was forced to engage in, we find that the total number of people who were killed were just a few hundred. Yet the nation from which these preachers come from were able to kill 250,000 people with a single bomb in Japan in World War II. Which of the two nations is more blood letting? Which of the more two peoples are more merciful unto humanity? So again, the Sheikh, to summarize what he was saying, is that he encouraged all of us to take this matter seriously and to study, begin by, let us revive the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only amongst our fellow Muslims, but introduce humanity to his life, as this is one of the best means of da'wah, because so many people became Muslim during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just because of the Prophet's character. So when engaging in da'wah, teaching the people who the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, who they have, the Prophet was sent to them specifically, alayhi salatu wasalam, is one of the best means of da'wah. And the Shaykh concluded by again thanking the attendees and those who set the conference up, asking Allah Azza wa Jal to bless them all for their attending this conference and coming together for this noble matter. Wa jazakum Allah khair. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. So this is a translation of what Shaykh Nasir al-Umar addressed the conference with. He began by saying, after praising Allah and asking Allah to bless his Prophet, he said, "Dear brothers from the land of the two Haram, Mecca and Medina, I greet you, and I would like to inform you how much I wish I could be amongst your presence, but due to the time and other factors, I was unable to attend. However, I would not want to participate, and hence at least this call for a few minutes." The Shaykh then said that this conference indeed is a great victory which will be registered in our history against this crusade that has been launched against Islam. It began by certain sinful and wicked priests in the United States, attacking the character and the person of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, we should know that they are not unique in that, but indeed that this is the way of all the criminals throughout history, as Allah has informed us of that in His book. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have they transmitted this testament to one another, generation after generation? Indeed, they are a people who have stepped over all bounds. And so therefore, if we look at the Quran, we find that the Jews caused harm to the Prophet Musa alayhi salam with their tongue. Indeed, Allah tells us in the Quran that the Prophet Musa pleaded with them saying, why are you bothering me and you know that I am the messenger sent unto you? And likewise, the children of Israel said unto Isa ibn Maryam, they accused him of being a sorcerer, and Isa complained upon him. And likewise, all the nations with their prophets, they would attack their prophets, but yet in the end, Allah's victory would be for His prophets. And so therefore, those who have entered into this matter by attacking the Prophet ﷺ, it is an indication to us that they have lost the war. Even though at first, when they have launched this crusade against Islam in many ways and in many directions, it seems that at first now, at first glance, that victory is theirs. But however, we should know that in the end, destruction will overtake them, and this is good news for the believers. The enemy has attacked us in many ways and in many lands. There is Palestine, there is Kashmir, there is Chechnya, there is Afghanistan. In fact, there are so many lands and places, and they have attacked us in so many ways, it is impossible for us to enumerate it all. However, as it has been said, that while the victory of the unbelievers might be for an hour, the victory of Islam is until the establishment of the hour. And so therefore, this is a great victory, and we need to then rally to the call since they have engaged us in this war. And for the Muslims in the West, we rally to this call in the following matter, the Shaykh says. And that is by trying to enter into discussions with these unbelievers through talking with them, through arguing with them in a best manner, through gently approaching them, and trying to show them the wickedness of their ways, and perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might guide some of them. Indeed, Allah sent the Prophet Musa to alayhi salam to Pharaoh and said, commanded him that say unto Pharaoh a kind word or a gentle word that perhaps he might repent and become righteous. However, when they are obstinate, then another response is given. A large number of Christians have shown that they are in actuality angered by the statement of these priests. Suffice that the perhaps the foreign minister of the United Kingdom came out with a statement by saying that this statement made by these priests against the Prophet ﷺ is actually a slander and a slap in the face, not only to Muslims but to Christians alike. So therefore, we need to encourage this, and we need to pursue it further by even bringing these people to court, if possible, for slander, and taking all means in order to show them that what they have done is too much and cannot be tolerated. For by them attacking the Prophet ﷺ, they have insulted Allah, because Allah is the one who has sent this Prophet ﷺ. They have insulted the other prophets, like the Prophet Musa and the Prophet Isa, alayhim as-salam, who both gave glad tidings to the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have insulted the believers who believe in these prophets, and they have. It is important for us to show to them that with us we consider all the prophets to be believed in. We do not make any distinction between any of the prophets, and so therefore an attack on any prophet is like an attack on our prophet. And the Shaykh said that in the end we should be certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon Himself to defend the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Allah says in the Qur'an, that we will suffice, in other words, we will take care of all those who ridicule you. And these people who have attacked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will see Allah's punishment reaching them, whether shortly or in a long period in the future, because this is a divine promise that whoever attacks the prophets of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish them severely in this world and in the hereafter. And the Shaykh said that they need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a mercy to the world. He is a mercy to every single creature, from human beings, from jinns, from everyone. And not just, he was not just sent to the Arabs, not just sent to the Muslims alone, but to every single human being and jinn and so forth. And he is a mercy and he is a guidance, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we ask Allah, the Shaykh said, that by our participation and our attending this conference, that we will win the intercession of our Prophet, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the Day of Judgment, due to our acting of defending the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the Shaykh said again, he apologized for not being able to attend in person, and said that there are many brothers, for you brothers to know here in the United Kingdom, that there are many of your brothers in the lands of Al-Haramain who are greeting you and thanking you for holding this conference and attending this conference, and Allah knows best. Jazakumullah khair. So now we're going to do the call with Shaykh. Right, so I suggest for I have an idea for the brothers to somebody to volunteer for this idea. Okay, while we were calling Sheikh Safar al-Hawari. So the statement by Sheikh Nasr Umar, I mean, for those who speak Arabic, realize I didn't do justice to it, because it truly was a very beautiful and eloquent statement that had many meanings to it and many things. So what I would suggest is that those brothers who speak Arabic and also speak English, rather than just rely upon the translation that I gave, jotting down some notes, that they take the statement of Sheikh Nasr, and likewise Sheikh Salman's statement, for instance, yesterday, and tonight we'll listen to Sheikh Safar al-Hawari's statement, and inshallah, and then make a audio tape from it, whereby which somebody else does the translation and reads it, so that the translation is filling more of the statements that they made, so we don't miss anything. And this is, can then be something beneficial to the Muslims. So inshallah, among those brothers now who are sitting in this audience, or, you know, there's some brothers or a group of brothers who are going to take this duty upon themselves, right? And then before the end of the month of Ramadan, we'll have these statements on a cassette tape, huh? Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. So we should be considered it done, right? So, brother Abdul Fattah, he's charge of Wanteda. You give your name to him at the end of the session to volunteer for this thing, so that the statements can be given and distributed widely. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ba'd. On behalf of the conference, I'd like to apologize for the difficulty in hearing Sheikh Safar's statement. However, that we should know that the Sheikh Safar's statement was a prepared statement. So we have the text, and that can be distributed to the brother shortly with the English translation. So if it was difficult to follow what the Sheikh was saying, yet his words will reach you written, if not by sound. The topic which Sheikh Safar was going to address, and to which I will summarize this at this time, as to why now. Sheikh Safar began after praising Allah and asking Allah to invoke his blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He thanked the brothers and sisters for gathering at this conference, and he greeted everyone. He said, even though I'm from a great distance, greeting you from the blessed land of Mecca during this blessed night of your conference. And this is only part of some of the great duty which is obligated upon us towards our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Shaykh said, before I get into the topic, I want you to know that this is a great good news for us, that insha'Allah victory is coming shortly to our ummah because of this event. We can determine that, as I will explain. The Shaykh said that if we want to look at this matter as why now, we come to the conclusion that the right-wing extremist Christian evangelicals in the United States and the Israelis have arrived to the same conclusion. What is that conclusion? I mean, they reached the same point. We should know first, before we get to that, answer that question, let us go back and give some history. When the Israelis occupied Jerusalem in 1967, it sparked an explosion of evangelical fundamentalism in the United States, because when they saw that the Israelis conquered Jerusalem from the Muslims, may Allah return it hastily to the back to the believers, that it revived in them their hopes that Isa ibn Maryam, Jesus Christ, would be returning for his second coming, and it would begin his millennial reign, for which the Battle of Armageddon is a prelude. This is an aqidah which they have. And so this trend of evangelical fundamentalism in the United States, which saw an explosion with the conquest of by the Israelis of Jerusalem, continued in strength as the State of Israel increased in its military power and embarked upon new wars of conquest in the region. They all saw this as it was laying the ground for the return of the Prophet Isa alayhi salam. That is why this group rejects any peaceful solution and does not want to see any peace accord or any sort of cessation of hostilities between the Muslims of the region and the Israelis. And this group reached its peak in influence during the presidency of Ronald Reagan in the 80s, who himself expressed his belief in more than one occasion in these biblical prophecies and in the Battle of Armageddon. And during his time, evangelical Christians reached their peak, and this was exemplified in the activities of three evangelical right-wing fanatical Christians in the United States, being Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, and Jimmy Swaggart. However, something happened which dashed the hopes of the Israelis and dashed the hopes of these right-wing Christians, and that was the Intifada. This blessed Intifada, at first they thought that it was going to be for their benefit, that the Intifada was going to lead to Armageddon, and they would be victorious, and Isa would come down, alayhi salam, and they would destroy the Muslims, and the millennial reign, and so forth. But they saw very shortly that the Intifada was actually going to occur the opposite. And so the following happened. Concerning the Israelis, it led to a great dissatisfaction and frustration among the Israelis, even among the military, even among the settlers and the settlements and the immigrants and so forth. They have now a state of anxiety amongst them. They feel they are no longer safe, and they feel that this Zionist program they had of establishing the State of Israel is on the verge of collapse. Okay. And so as a result, they brought Ariel Sharon to power. And Ariel Sharon, this criminal, murderer, he said, he promised the Israelis that within 100 days, he would bring the Intifada to an end. But what happened? It's been now more than 700 days, and the Intifada is just as strong, if not getting stronger. And so therefore, what has happened now, Israeli society is now being divided. And the recent events last week with the collapse of the Israeli government is just one indication to that. And also what we hear about how many Israelis who have passports to other countries are leaving Israel and wanting to live in Europe and America. They do not feel safe there. And the also the desertion of some of the military troops who don't want to, all is indication of the collapse of Israeli society, because of this has now led to a war of attrition which they cannot win. Okay, so the Israelis have this type of psychological collapse. They feel that they have no way of continuing in the area. Now, the right wing in the United States, politically and religious with the evangelicals, have a certain program. This program, if we look at the political right wing, in both its religious and its secular factions, their main aim in their foreign policy is just to protect and achieve Israeli security at all costs. And when the American right wing saw that Israel cannot remain in the region without its direct imposition of American hegemony and American control of the region, they have decided now to use force in order to control the affairs, in order to let Israel's security remain. In other words, conquer the Middle East. And the pretext for this, of course, now, which we're trying to do in order to put this plot into effect, is what? The removal of the Ba'athist regime in Iraq. And likewise, they've given this whole project, this slogan, a long-term project, which is called the War Against Terrorism, which in reality, one of its aims, or among the main aims, is to secure Israeli security in the region, because they know the Israelis can't do it themselves anymore. It needs American military might. The religious right wing, of course, they don't want to go through all these political machinations and political reasons and so forth. They want to do is just ignite the battle of Armageddon. They neither look for political excuses or rational explanations. Because, first of all, these people are irrational people. They don't believe in reason and so forth. They're blind fundamentalists, and all they want to do is based upon what they think they are receiving revelation, or how they interpret their personal interpretations of the Bible, or their analysis, their futuristic analysis of how events will come, or their desire to see Armageddon occur, and so forth. Okay, so this is the psychological context of the right wing in the United States. Now, what happened was the events of September 11th, as well as the preparations for war in Iraq, has begun to cause a division within the United States between a large number of Americans who do not want to engage in war for Israel, who do not want to have an open-ended war against the Muslim Ummah, okay, and the American administration, who seeks that, and the Christian fundamentalists behind the American administration. And as a result, these people are becoming isolated day by day in the United States, and they are their influence is beginning to decline. The signs of that are now beginning to appear. And we can see this in many ways. I mean, the fundamentalists, Christian fundamentalists, power is weakening in the United States. Is beginning, their influence is beginning to decline in many ways. First of all, many of them had scandals and a poor reputation even before these events. And so a lot of Americans began to, you know, poke fun at them and look at that they were not worthy to be people who were preaching religious matters. Second of all, their positions are really at contradiction with what the general ideas and opinions of the American people. For example, when September 11th came, Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson made comments saying this was a punishment from Allah upon them for allowing homosexuality and so forth in their lives. Most of the American people found this to be offensive. And so therefore, they forced them to retract from this. So this shows that they are not in line with the general population of the United States. And hence, they feel threatened that they are unable to influence, project their influence on the American citizenry. Likewise, another thing which caused them to be out of line with the United States and even with the American administration is when the President of the United States outwardly showed some courteous behavior towards the Muslim community. For instance, after September 11th, he visited the Islamic Center in Washington, D.C. and said some nice comments about Islam and Muslims. Likewise, recently the State Department has created a film about Muslims in America, which they're putting in the Middle East and so forth, to show that Muslims in the United States live a peaceful life and are not being harmed and so forth. So this has made, because these Christian fundamentalists don't want anything nice to be said about Islam. And so therefore they have caused themselves not to even split or to divide themselves from the administration itself. Another factor which has caused for their decline in the United States is that during the 8 years of the Clinton presidency, the liberals were strengthened greatly. You know, I mean, and this has become apparent in a number of ways. For example, recently there was a conference, a declaration for the International Conference for Religion and Peace on the 23rd of October of this year, and there was a declaration or resolutions of the conference, which shows a liberal mindset in the United States, and is completely at opposition to what the Christian fundamentalists, right-wing Christian fundamentalists, or the right-wing, extreme right-wing in the United States, the seculars among them. And likewise, another cause for them weaken their hold on American society is that many Americans now have become much more familiar with Islam and Muslims during the last decade. And so therefore, it's not easy for them to pass off upon the American public. Just these blind attacks against Islam or the Muslims. Many Muslims, many Americans know Muslims, and they know them not to be terrorists. They know them to be very peaceful people, very kind people, very generous people, and so forth and so on. They know something about Islam. Many of them have read something about the Quran, or they know something of the Prophet's life. And so therefore, they do not just fall easily prey to such types of statements. Likewise, many Americans have now an increased awareness of the Palestinian cause and what's going on in Palestine. And a lot of them have a conviction that there needs to be a solution, and that the solution is not to support Israel blindly, but rather there needs to be a solution, and that only through having a solution for this issue will the issue of quote-unquote terrorism come to an end. Likewise, many large segments of the American population are against the war in Iraq. And this has come out with many of the churches outside the fundamentalists, of course, ring. For example, the statement of the World Council of Churches, which came out on the 20th of September this year, the statement of the Conference of Catholic Bishops, which came out on the 16th of September this year, all saying that they do not, the United States should not go into war with Iraq. So what happened? As a result of this type of, you know, background, this group of these Christian fundamentalists have felt themselves more and more isolated on both an official and popular level. And this has led to them an anxiety concerning their future. And this anxiety concerning their future, the Sheikh says, is a textbook case of psychological projection, okay? Because they have these built-up feelings of the necessity of the Battle of Armageddon and the necessity of bloodletting and killing and so forth. And since they can see now there's no, there might not be a way for them to push this type of agenda anymore, they now want to then take these types of feelings and cast them upon the Prophet ﷺ and accuse him, the Prophet ﷺ, the messenger of truth, the messenger of justice, who was sent as a mercy unto the world, and who is mentioned in their scriptures as being the Arkun al-Alam, which is in the prophecies of the previous scriptures might be translated as the Prince of Peace, is what Isa referred to him alayhi salam in their scriptures. They now are referring to him as an individual of violence and terrorism, while that is just a reflection of their violent nature inside and their bloodthirsty nature inside. Now the conclusion of this is that this is a great sign from Allah Azza wa Jal that this movement, meaning the Zionist movement, with its two, this and the other matters, with its two faces of this coin, the Jewish Zionist movement in Israel and also the Christian Zionist movement, which has given it its lifeblood and has given it its support in the West, is coming to an end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring this movement to an end very shortly. And this is the great news that we have. I mean, that we're on the verge of a great victory, this ummah. And then the Sheikh said, he said that, and we can take this from historically by looking at just the statements of Ibn Taymiyyah, who faced similar things in his time. And he wrote two books, very famous books on this matter. One is As-Salam al-Maslul ala Shatim al-Rasul, or the unsheathed sword against that person who insults the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And his other book, which he refuted Christianity when the Christians sent a letter to the Muslims trying to find some sort of defense for their beliefs and their practices in the Quran and also in their scriptures and by reason. And the Sheikh Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah wrote his famous multi-volume book Al-Jawab al-Sahih, or the correct response, Liman Baddala Deen al-Masih, to him, the correct response to those who exchange the true religion of the Messiah alayhi salam with one that they have forged themselves. That's what the title means. So the Sheikh quoted two passages from Ibn Taymiyyah where Ibn Taymiyyah says that it is well known, and Ibn Taymiyyah says not only from historically but also from what we have seen in our times, that whoever attacks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and insults him or and attacks his character, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quickly strikes him with different forms of punishments in many ways. And we see this in historically when Kisra was given the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calling him to Islam, and Kisra ripped it up, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said his kingdom will be ripped up. And when Maqawqis, the ruler of Egypt, accepted the letter of the Prophet ﷺ, even though he became a Muslim, and sent the Prophet ﷺ gifts, the Coptic people have remained in Egypt and have stayed, because they return it with a response which is proper. I mean, if anybody, not lies alone, a prophet sent by Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then he quotes Ibn Taymiyyah, something which has been quoted often today, that it is very well known from the experience of Muslim soldiers in Syria during the time of the Crusades, that whenever they besieged a Christian castle and they found it difficult for them to conquer it, even after a long protracted siege of that, okay, that at times the Christians would begin by insulting and cursing the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when the Muslims would hear this, they would welcome this as a sign that victory would come and that fortress and castle will fall shortly, for Allah will take vengeance upon the enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Muslims have experienced this on more than one occasion in actualization of Allah's statement that he who hates you will be cut off. He who hates the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Shaykh concluded by making dua for the attendees and asking Allah azza wa jalla to bless the brothers and sisters for attending and the people who assisted in having this conference. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. And again, my apologies on behalf of the conference host for the poorness in the voice of Sheikh Safa, but his full printed statement in Arabic and English will be distributed shortly, inshallah.